This is Henry Simon, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Yellow Cloud. Address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
It was a hot summer's morning in the June of 1956. Edgar Spain, director of the New York branch of the Missing Persons Bureau, arrived at his Brooklyn Heights office at exactly 9:03, to be greeted by his assistant, former police officer Ben Phillips, who duly informed him that there was a client waiting in the outer office, a somewhat unusual client with a most unusual name.
Big Bull Arrowhead.
Huh?
You heard me.
Big Bull who?
Arrowhead. He's a full-blooded Cherokee Indian, so he says. All the way from Spring Flats, Oregon.
What's he doing here?
Don't ask me. He was waiting on the doorstep when I got in. I thought he had the wrong place. Then he tells me he's come to see you. He wouldn't say what it was about, just that it's most urgent.
Oh. Well, I guess you better show him in.
Uh-huh. Want me to stick around?
Well, he can wait in your office. I'll give you a buzz if I need to.
A moment later, Spain was confronted by the gentleman in question. Tall and red-skinned, with black braided hair, he was clad simply in tight-fitting buckskin slacks, a brightly colored woven shirt, and fawn leather moccasins. He wore no hat, and his wrists were encircled by matching metal bands.
Please sit down, Mr.
Arrowhead. You call me Arrowhead.
Arrowhead. My assistant tells me you're from Oregon.
I come from reservation in Spring Flats.
Oh, quite a trip. And here on holidays or what?
No. I am here to find Yellow Cloud.
I beg your pardon?
Yellow Cloud, daughter of White Horse, chief of Tarakis.
She's in New York, huh?
For 7 years, she lives among your people. In New York. She makes her home.
I see, and now her father wants her back. Is that it?
White Horse is dead many months. By Taraki law, Yellow Cloud succeeds him as leader of our tribe.
A woman chief. That's a new one.
She is chief in name only. I have been chosen by my people to act for her. Yet in all things, this is not possible. The papers must be signed by us both.
Papers?
I will explain. By United States Charter, this Spring Flats Reservation belongs to the Karate tribe. It is ours to do with what we will. 130 square miles of territory.
Mm-hmm.
It is fine land. We are happy there. The soil is good and we have much water. But we are not so prosperous we can refuse the offer made to us by your people. It has been decided we should sell.
Sell the reservation?
We will not be the first type to give up our land. Others have done so before us.
What are the terms of the offer exactly?
It is to be a stray-out sale. We go from the reservation to make our homes in other parts of America, to take our places in the world outside our domain.
Mm-hmm. In return for what?
The price agreed on is $6 million.
$6 million?
To be divided equally among our people.
Hmm. How many of you are there?
Men, women, and children, including Yellow Cloud and myself, are in number 64.
Say, that must be just under $100,000 each.
It is a fair offer. We are content.
Well, who was it made by, this offer?
A group of companies. What you call A combination.
Combine.
Combine, yes.
And when's the sale to be transacted,
This depends on Yellow Cloud. There can be no sale till she is found. As the daughter of White Horse, her signature is required on the contract.
Well, have you any notion where she is in New York?
No. That is why I come to you.
Someone suggested this, huh?
The attorney who is acting for the tribe.
Oh, I see. Well, you're quite sure she's settled here, are you?
I know only that it was her intention to do so. Not long before he died, she wrote to her father. In the letter, she says she has a job in New York.
Oh, what kind of a job?
Just a job. She tells him nothing else except that she has found peace of mind and security.
Oh, and when was this letter received?
It would be more than 2 years ago now.
And that was the only time she wrote?
Yes, only time.
How old was she when she originally left the reservation?
16.
So she'd be 23 now.
Yes.
What prompted her to leave exactly? Did she have an argument with her father, or...
She, was discontented. The white blood in her veins would not allow her to accept
white,
our...
White blood,
Her mother was white.
Oh, so she's only half Indian.
To look at her, you would not think she was Indian at all. Her skin was fair like that of her mother, and her features were the features of a white woman, as were her ways.
How do you mean?
Even as a girl, she would color her face with powder and lip rouge and do things that no Indian girl would dream of doing. Her father was most worried by her continued defiance of his orders. He could do little to control her.
Well, what happened to the mother?
She died soon after Yellow Cloud was born.
Any brothers or sisters?
No.
Well, did she come to New York direct after leaving the reservation?
No. For some years, she was working in San Francisco. After that, we lose track of her till the letter arrives from New York.
Well, that letter isn't still in existence, I suppose.
No. White Cloud, he burns it. He keeps only the photograph.
Photograph?
It came with the letter.
That's a photo of Yellow Cloud.
Here. You see?
Well, as you say, she certainly doesn't look at all Indian.
Only her eyes. They are of White Horse.
And White Horse has no white blood himself.
It has been said that the mother of his mother was part white.
Oh, that could explain it. Now, why was she called Yellow Cloud, by the way?
To the Tarakis. A yellow cloud is a sign of good fortune.
Well, maybe she'll live up to it yet, eh?
It will be to her advantage as much as the tribe's if she is found. She, too, will receive a share of the money.
Yeah, you don't know for certain, of course, that she's still living. She could have met with an accident or died in some way since she wrote that letter.
In that case, her death would need to be established.
So there's nothing else you can tell me? Nothing that might provide me with some sort of a lead to go on? Some clue?
There is nothing, no. I have told you all I know.
How well were you acquainted with her before she took off?
I had little to do with her. She never mixed with the young men of the tribe.
No.
No. I cannot be sure, but always I had the feeling she did not care for the color of our skin.
Well, that's the story, Ben. What do you think?
I think I wouldn't mind being a Cherokee Indian myself. Could use $100,000 right now.
Yeah, they're doing okay out of it. At least they will be if Yellow Cloud doesn't louse up the deal.
I guess she shouldn't have too many objections.
Maybe not. But she still has to be found.
You know, if this photo's anything to go by, she's not a bad-looking dish. You'd never pick her as half-Indian in a million years.
Except for the black hair.
Unless it's no blacker than mine. Hey, there's a thought. Maybe I'm part Cherokee, and I never knew it. Hey, come to think of it, I do have a kind of ruddy complexion.
You should have lodged a claim with Big Bull.
Well, maybe I will at that.
Hey, you figure it's a professional job?
Huh?
The photo.
No. Looks more like a home snap to me.
There's a name stamped on the back, but it's so faded I can't make it out.
Well, let's see.
Might be the name of some developing agency.
Yeah, M-E something or other, is it?
Well, the M-E's clear enough, but the rest practically obliterated.
Well, let's take a look in the phone directory, see what's offering.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. Autographic supplier. Here we are. M-M-M-E. Mead, Melton, Melvin, Merrington, Merton, Metcalf, Mayer. Seven of them.
They all handle developing?
Uh-huh. They're listed separately.
And the best thing we can do is to take it each in turn. See if they can identify it.
As Thane had two other clients to interview that morning, the task of checking with the seven photographic and developing agencies fell to Phillips, who set off soon after 10:30, equipped with a photograph and a list of addresses.
No, sir, I'm sorry. It's not ours.
No, it certainly wasn't done here. Afraid not, sir. Can't help you at all.
With three names off his list, Phillips next went to A.B. Merton & Company in Grand Central Avenue. There, his diligence was rewarded.
Yes, sir, this is our stamp, right enough.
Was it actually taken by you or just developed here?
Oh, just developed, I'd imagine. We do very little outside photography, only by special request.
Uh-huh. Well, would there be any way of checking its origin?
Well, if you could give me the customer's name and address...
Well, look, the only name I know her by is Yellow Cloud. I doubt if she'd have used that.
Yellow Cloud?
She's part Indian.
Oh.
Well, in any event, it ain't necessarily have been her who brought it in.
Have you any idea just when it was brought in?
Well, not really, no. Except that it wasn't any time in the last 2 years. Look, I noticed there's a number stamped here as well. Couldn't you go by that?
Well, I could, but it may take some time.
Well, that's okay. I can come back later.
About 3 this afternoon.
Fine. I'll see you then.
Oh, Mr. Phillips.
Right on time. How'd you make out?
I have the details right here.
Well.
The negative was delivered to us on the 14th of December, 1953. We in turn developed it together with some others, and they were collected on the 22nd. That's just 3 days before Christmas.
Collected by who?
The name I have here is R.S. Walters.
Mr., Miss, or Mrs.?
Mr.
A guy, huh? Did he bring them in originally?
It would appear so, yes.
Uh-huh. Any address listed?
Yes, 18 Southport Drive, Staten Island.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
On returning to the office, Philip reported his progress to Spain, who duly took the helm, venturing late that same afternoon to Southport Drive on Staten Island. Number 18 proved to be a large apartment block, wedged between two smaller office buildings. Taking the lift to the third floor, Spain made his way along a dimly lit passage to apartment 9 at the far end. In answer to his knock, the door was opened almost at once by a short, clumpish man with an oval face and closely cropped hair.
Mr. Walters?
Yep, what can I do for you?
Well, Spain's the name. I'm from the Missing Persons Bureau.
Does that mean you're selling something or collecting donations?
Neither. No, it means I'm trying to trace a girl in this photograph.
Girl?
Here, take a look. Now, do you know her at all?
Why, sure, it's Dolly.
Dolly?
Dolly Dugan. I used to knock around with her. Matter of fact, this snap looks mighty familiar.
It should do. You took the negative to Mertens, the photography people, to have it developed.
Hey, sorry, I did. Yeah, I remember now.
I have any idea where I might reach her.
Well, she used to have a place on Vermont Avenue. Shared a couple of rooms with some other dame, Vera someone, I guess.
Vermont Avenue, what number?
Let me see, 87, was it? Yeah, I think it was 87. Any case, it was on the corner of Vermont and Fife Boulevard. Right-hand side going towards the bridge. Can't be sure she's still there, though. This was 12 months ago, maybe even more.
Well, it's worth a try.
She got herself in a jammer of some kind?
No, it was just a routine matter.
Queer kid, never could figure her.
No?
For a dame, she had some real strong feelings.
Now, what about?
Well, live and let live, that's what I always say. But not her, no, sir. She had a dead set against anyone colored. Hated them like poison. Once I was just joking with her. See, we'd been swimming, and she had her hair down, jet black, way past her shoulders. Didn't mean anything, of course. I was only kidding, but she flew off the handle proper. Oh, but scratched my eyes out.
Why?
I told her she looked like a squaw.
At 87 Vermont Avenue, a modest grooming house on the corner of Fife Boulevard, Spain checked with the proprietress, a blousy Italian woman, who told him that Dolly Dugan had moved out some 6 months before.
She just cleared off one day, and I don't see her since.
6 months back, huh?
Oh, six about, or maybe seven.
Mm-hmm. What about a roommate?
Roommate?
Well, didn't she room with a Vera someone or other?
Oh, si, Vera Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Well, is she still here, or did she move out, too?
No, she's still here. She's now sharing with another friend.
Mm-hmm. She around at the moment?
Si, she's not long home from work. You go up the stairs, it's the first door to the right.
Well, hello there.
Miss Morgan?
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm trying to contact the Miss Dolly Dugan. I believe she used to room here with you.
Why, yes. You're a friend of her?
Well, not exactly, but I have an urgent message from someone who is. Do you happen to know where I might find her?
Oh, sorry, I don't. I hadn't clapped eyes on her since she walked out through this door with her bags, and that was quite a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Did you say where she was going?
No. We weren't exactly on the best of terms. She hadn't said a word to me in weeks.
Well, why was that?
Oh, she had a bee in a bonnet about something. She was never what you'd call easy to get along with. To tell you the truth, I was quite glad to see the last of her.
How long were you rooming together?
A year or so.
Did you know her before then?
Vaguely. I just happened to strike her in the street one day. She was looking for a place, and I suggested she come here.
Mm-hmm. When she left, did she have a job?
At the Gioconda Cafe. Couple of blocks along. She was a waitress there. Maybe still, for all I know. I don't get up that way much.
Was that the only job she had in the time you knew her?
No, she had three or four. Couldn't seem to settle in.
Oh? What jobs were there?
Same thing, waiting on tables. That's all she knew.
Tell me, did she ever talk to you about her background, where she came from, anything like that?
No, she wasn't the talking kind. Although she did tell me once she'd lived in San Francisco.
What about romantic interests? Were there many men in her life?
Oh, a few. None of them ever lasted long, though. She was so touchy, they never knew how to take her.
Touchy? In what way?
Oh, in every way. One time we went out in a foursome, ended up at the movies. Jimmy Stewart was in the main feature. A Western it was. Real exciting. And right in the middle of it, she burst into tears and heads for the nearest exit. Well, I never did find out what upset her. I mean, the guy she was with was okay, and, well, there was nothing in the film to bother her.
What was the film about?
Well, like I said, it was a Western. You know, cowboys and Indians.
After taking his leave of Vera Morgan, Spain went to the Gioconda Cafe, a barn-like establishment which catered mainly for the local working community, and was run by one Mike O'Shea, an Irish immigrant whose motto was quantity before quality, and who himself waited on the tables, keeping one eye on his staff and the other on his customers.
Dolly Dugan? Oh, to be sure, she was working here for a while. Oh, let's see, a couple of months, I should think.
And she's not here now.
No, sir. Had to get rid of her. Rude to the customers she was. Time and time again I warned her. Yeah, but sure, it didn't make any difference.
And how long ago was all this?
I'll be back around March, I think, early April, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know where she was living at the time, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But say now, Maisie might be able to tell you.
Maisie?
Yeah, sure, that's her, over-serving the table by the door. Best worker in the place.
Good. Well, is it okay if I have a word with her?
You give her an order. Why not?
Well, I could use a snack at that. Tell me, what's good?
What's good? Nothing. But they say you'll get plenty of it.
Settling for some buttered toast and coffee, Spain duly introduced himself to the young lady in question. A buxom blonde with a cheery manner and a broad Brooklyn accent.
That Dolly, she was nuts. Here she has a good job with Mike, and what does she do? Spits on his face, that's what. He tells her to be nice and polite to the people, so she winds up tipping down stoops and goon's neck at Deskies. Is that any way to get on?
You were a friend of hers?
Oh, one day I was, the next we wasn't speaking. She was like that. Hot and cold, you know?
Yeah. At the time Mike got rid of her, do you know where she was living?
Sure, she had the room at Lacey's.
And where's Lacey?
Down by the bridge, next to Harry's pool room. Go out of here, turn right, first to the left and follow your nose. There's a sign up, you can't miss it.
Yes? What is it?
Miss Dugan?
Yes?
You mind if I come in? Spain's the name. Missing Persons Bureau.
She was taller than he expected, and her raven hair was twisted into a tight bun at the back of her head. By contrast, her skin was milk white. No trace of color showed in her cheeks, and her features were curiously devoid of expression.
Why have you come here, Mr. Spain? What do you want with me?
I'm here on behalf of your people.
My people?
Yes. There's no sense me beating about the bush, Miss Dugan. Or maybe I should call you Yellow Cloud.
I don't...
Now, I know who you are and what you are. In fact, I... Well, pretty much all there is to know. There's just one thing puzzles me. What makes you so ashamed of your origin? Why have you gone to such length to conceal it?
Did my father send you here?
Your father's dead.
Dead?
Yes, he died about 2 years ago, not long after receiving your letter. So officially, you are now the leader of the Tarakee tribe. I was retained to find you by Big Bull Arrowhead, who's been acting in your place. He has a proposition to make to you.
If my father is dead, as you say, I have no further ties with the past. You ask why I'm ashamed of my origin. Perhaps you think it's something to be proud of.
Quite frankly, yes, I do.
You speak in ignorance, Mr. Spain. You know nothing of what it means to be an Indian, to be thought of as a savage, an uncivilized outcast. But I do. For 16 years, I lived as an Indian, on the reservation with other Indians. Is it so strange that now, having lived for so long among whites and having enjoyed their privileges as one of them, I should want to cast from my mind a life that was so hateful to me, an existence I was forced to endure?
Casting it from your mind is just what you haven't done. You're more conscious of it now than you ever were. And you'll go on being conscious of it till such time as you realize that in the long run, it doesn't matter a darn if your ancestors were white, red, black, or purple. First and foremost, they were human beings just as you are. So why not try acting like one?
Oh, you don't understand.
Your attitude, I certainly do not.
You mentioned the proposition.
Mm-hmm. Your people are selling the reservation.
Selling?
To an industrial combine for $6 million.
Oh.
All you have to do is sign a few papers, and you come in for a share of it. Just under $100,000.
$100,000?
Now, there's certain to be plenty of publicity about it. When it breaks, it'll be big news all over the country. Your secret will be out. Everyone will know who you are, if you decide to go through with the deal, that is. On the other hand, if you refuse, you'll be throwing away a fortune. Now the choice is yours. Red or white. Dolly Dugan or Yellow Cloud.
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
It was a curious situation. For 7 years, Dolly Dugan had done everything in her power to erase all memory of Yellow Cloud and her former life. Now she was faced with the alternative of becoming Yellow Cloud again and receiving $100,000, or of turning her back on the money and remaining Dolly Dugan. The lure of wealth ultimately proved to be too much for her, however, and some weeks later the sale went through. As Spain had predicted, it was much publicized, and Yellow Cloud was the focal point. Somehow, I'm rather inclined to think that this was a very good thing. Just what effect it had on her, I can't say. But my guess is that she's going to live to be a very much happier and wiser person because of it. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you au revoir.